And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today, and I hope you're having a wonderful day. And I hope that you've been listening to AFR and enjoying the information, and we hope the inspiration and the encouragement that we're bringing. We are so grateful to be able to do this. We really are. When we read this constant drumbeat of censorship, which is being called cancel culture, I call it communist culture, when we read this constant drumbeat, we realize how blessed we are to be doing what we're doing. I may have mentioned this to you yesterday, but I found out yesterday that there was an inside debate going on in the Democrat convention last year that they wanted to remove "under God" from the Pledge of Allegiance. They wanted it out. They didn't want it used when they were reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. And so some of the caucuses inside of the convention, the LGBTQ caucus, of course, the penultimately godless caucus, and they had the nerve to criticize me online, saying that I'd said that homosexuals will not be in heaven. Well, they won't. No sinners will be. No sin will be. That's axiomatic, but they thought that that was a hateful statement. It's biblical. It's what the Bible says. But they're in their caucus trying to get "under God" removed from the Pledge of Allegiance, and they're complaining about not being in heaven, or about me pointing out that they won't be in heaven. That's ironic, isn't it? Kind of oxymoronic. I mean, you don't want to be in heaven anyway. What difference does it make? And the Muslim caucus was also in the leadership of this, trying to say, I don't quite get that one. They're supposed to be, quote unquote, one of the great religions, right? And we even hear people say wrongly that Islam is the same as Christianity, or it's the same God, which is not true. The God of Islam is not the God of Christianity. Absolutely, categorically false. I won't get into the history of where the concept of Allah comes from, but it certainly doesn't come from the Bible, because the Quran says that God is not a man that he should beget, neither is he begotten. The Quran ridicules the idea that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so you can't have one God saying two different things in two different books. And the fact of the matter is, the Bible is the word of God and the Quran is the word of Muhammad. So, but nevertheless, they're in the caucus, in the Democrat caucus, fighting to remove "under God" from the pledge. So what that tells you is that networks like this, well, I'm saying networks like this, what others are there, would certainly be on their radar screen, because all the God talk is something that they just don't want to hear. And you know what? That's why we're going to say it even more loudly, more vociferously. We're going to say it even more boldly, more unapologetically than we ever have before. We love God. We know God. There's only one way of salvation. That's through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died on the cross for the sins of mankind. And everything else and everybody else that purports to show some kind of way of some kind of works religion as a way of getting yourself into heaven is going to be sorely disappointed, because you'll never earn your way in. And all those people who criticize me for saying that homosexuals are not entering the kingdom of heaven, but look, you could go right down the list, right? It is not as if God would exclude those sinners, but then let other sinners in. Adulterers are not going to be let in. Liars, thieves are not going to be let in. People, the Bible says, such were some of you, but you've been sanctified. You've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, we're no longer, some of us may have been those things. Some of my friends listening to me who are in prison right now, You may have done some of those things. But once you're sanctified, once you are saved, once you are washed by the blood of the Lamb, that is no longer your identity. Your identity now is in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ are one spirit with him. He that knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're not going to heaven. Let's just make this clear. We're not going to heaven because we are inherently deserving of it. And God looked at us and said, oh, you are such good people. You know what? How could I not let you in? No, we're going to heaven because we have accepted the awesome sacrifice that God the Father made in sending his only begotten Son to pay the price for the wrong we've done. And by accepting that sacrifice, we become cleansed in his sight, and we become one with Jesus Christ in his sight. And the Bible says in Romans 8, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? So we are now in right relationship with God, not because of our works, Ephesians 2:9, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And you know the wonderful thing is, it's available to those homosexuals. It's available to those transgenders. It's available to the thief. It's available to the adulterer. It's available to the murderer. It's available to anybody who will repent and just say, oh, God, forgive me. I want Jesus as my Savior. And mean it sincerely. I mean, we're not selling insurance policies, okay? I mean, this is not, oh, okay, I'll sign on the dotted line. Thanks a lot. Okay, heaven's fine. Now, let me go out here and live like the devil. No, it's got to be a sincere, heartfelt surrender to him. And when you do that, he changes you on the inside, so you no longer want to live like the devil. Just thought I'd share that, since I'd been reflecting on this idea of taking God out of the Pledge of Allegiance and the little surreptitious efforts behind the scenes. See, they don't want all those black Christians and Hispanic Christians and others who are voting for these Democrats. They don't want them to know that behind the scenes, this is the kind of craziness that's going on. This anti-God, anti-Christian mindset. They don't want people to know that. Because, see, that's why I say, folks, it's ultimately not about party. It's about principle. It's not about the label Democrat versus Republican. It's about the truths to which we adhere or the falsehoods which people embrace. And unfortunately, that party seems to have just gone lock, stock, and barrel into a lot of demonic falsehood that is just unreal. I mean, it is amazing the kind of self-destructive policies. I mean, killing our unborn babies. I was just reading an article earlier about Planned Parenthood. They're so happy with Kamala Harris as vice president because she is such a staunch supporter of Planned Parenthood and abortion rights. She's a champion for abortion. Wow. Pat yourself on the back a couple times. You know, you're a champion for killing babies, killing unborn babies. Wow, that's something to really be proud of. But this is what they celebrate. It's you know, it staggers the imagination to consider the depravity of which people can be proud. That's the thing, they're depraved and proud of it. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The 1776 Commission issued a report that summarizes the principles of the American founding and how those principles have shaped our country. Unfortunately, that will be its only report in the first few hours in office. President Joe Biden disbanded the commission with an executive order. Now, compared to his previous executive orders that killed the Keystone Pipeline, stopped the construction of the wall, and promoted transgenderism, this action might not seem that significant. But it shows how radical he and his administration view this nation and its founding. They seem to be siding with the New York Times 1619 Project that argues that America was founded as a slaveocracy and that the American Revolution was fought primarily to perpetuate the institution of slavery. Victor Davis Hanson, who served on the commission, noted that in any other age than the divisive present, the report would not have been seen as controversial. The conclusions were unanimously approved by a group that included historians, lawyers, academics, scholars, authors, and public servants. I've had the privilege of interviewing many of these men and women over the years. Mike Sabo said that the 1776 commission report was appealing to both human reason and biblical revelation. For example, the Declaration's references to the Creator, Providence, and the Supreme Judge. It also calls for families to raise morally responsible citizens who love America and embrace the gifts and responsibilities of freedom and self-government. In a previous age, this report would not be controversial, and no president would even think of dissolving such a commission. The executive order signed by President Joe Biden on his first day in office shows what he thinks of this nation and its founding. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness. A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
An evangelist arrived in the city in which he was to preach a series of revival meetings. As he arrived, he wanted to mail a letter and saw a young boy nearby. He asked the boy if he could tell him how to get to the post office, and the boy politely told him. The preacher then asked, "How would you like to come hear me preach tonight? I'm going to tell people how to get to heaven." The boy responded by asking, "You're going to tell people how to get to heaven, and you don't even know how to get to the post office?" An innocent question by a young boy. But do you know that Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me."
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit aim2020.com.
Ryan Fisher here. Lindsey Graham says if Democrats call one witness in the impeachment trial, he will call in the FBI. I'll tell you why. Governor Cuomo told everybody to stay off the roads because of snow. What did he do? If violent rhetoric can get you impeached, how about impeaching Chuck Schumer? And Biden's spokesman laughs at a branch of our military. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, before we go any further, I do want to pause and honor these fallen law enforcement officers. We heard all last year how terrible law enforcement officers are and how racist they are, and they're out to get black people and they're no good and, you know, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon and all of this garbage. But for right-thinking Americans, we deeply appreciate the service that they provide to our communities and to our country. And here in a fairly short time, we've lost three of them, two FBI agents slain while going to serve a warrant on a guy who was involved in child pornography, allegedly at least involved in child pornography and violence against children as well. And of course, he opened fire and killed two police officers and wounded several others. The two slain FBI agents are Daniel Alfin and Laura Schwarzenberger. And then the Capitol police officer who was killed during the melee at the Capitol is Brian D. Sicknick. And there was a memorial service for him earlier today. And I'll comment on that in a second. But the other there in Mississippi where our headquarters is, Lieutenant Michael, I think that's either, I don't know whether it's Boutte or Boot, spelled B-O-U-T-T-E, Hancock County, Mississippi. He was killed in a confrontation with a suspect. So I know I shared these numbers yesterday, but police officers are not the problem. They are the solution. Can there be bad police officers? Sure, there can. There can be bad doctors. There can be bad lawyers. There can be bad ministers. There can even be bad talk show hosts. I hope I'm not one of them, but that's the nature of humanity. Anytime you have a large group of people, you can have some who perhaps shouldn't be in the position that they're in. But these police officers overwhelmingly, these law enforcement officers are overwhelmingly seeking to do their jobs. In fact, I think a lot of times the bigger problem is the leaders who are more politicians than they are law enforcement officers and are busy trying to appease and placate these far left forces that run the cities particularly and try to bow and satisfy them and all the crazy stuff that they're after. But I think most law enforcement officers now, even though their leadership may not always get it, I think most law enforcement officers understand it is not these far left crazies, but the average American who understands the role that they play and how important it is and respects and honors the job that they do, that those are the people that they can count on for support. They can count on Christians, should be able to count on Christians for support, because the Bible speaks of those in authority and that they do not bear the sword in vain. They're there to punish the evildoer. So God bless them, the families of those who remain after their loved one has been unlawfully, brutally, monstrously taken away from them. May they be at peace, and may God comfort them and strengthen them. I have to say this about Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick's memorial service. First of all, I'm glad that he was honored. I'm glad that there was an effort to acknowledge the sacrifice he made, that he lost his life making it. However, I have to tell you folks, I do find it a little bit sickening when I see these leftist legislators who have never had anything good to say about police officers, who have never called out Black Lives Matter, never called out Antifa, never looked at the facts, even in some of these controversial cases where everybody is rushing to judgment and saying how bad the police officer was and how monstrous he was and how Black people are victims of this kind of police racism and brutality. And then when the police officer is exonerated with a grand jury that has people of all backgrounds in it, then they don't have to, they're silent then. No apology, we shouldn't rush to judgment. No, then they're silent. But they are happy to jump on the bandwagon whenever something appears to be wrong. But the only reason why they're honoring, see, you and I, I'm sure all of you listening, we honor our police officers even when the circumstance is controversial, and we want to give them the benefit of the doubt. If a police officer is wrong, okay, fine, then that he has to pay the price. If he's violated the law, I don't mean you second guess his judgment and then try to nitpick what he did in a dangerous and difficult situation where he's got to make a split second decision. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where police officers actually gone beyond what the law allows him to do and is doing things he knows he's got no business doing. He's violating the law. Maybe he's acting on greed or racism or his own sort of personal anger or whatever it might be. Okay, those police officers have to be rooted out and they've got to be punished for what they do. But I'm talking about those police officers who find themselves in dangerous situations. They make a split-second judgment, and then along comes the crowd to second-guess them. And that's what's happened for several years now. And the left has turned them into its whipping boy. And frankly, just a stepping stone for Marxism, because they can always point to the police and how unjust the society is and how we need social justice, which is nothing but a euphemism, socialism. And off they go. And a lot of these people who were at this memorial service, that's what they've done. And even apparently Biden, I didn't hear these remarks, but somebody mentioned them to me, even Biden couldn't help but tried to make some sort of homage to how, you know, the police officers have been not done what they ought to do in many cases. But still, we're going to honor this one anyway. The only reason why they're honoring him, and he deserves it, but the only reason why they're honoring him, and they don't honor police officers, even acknowledge the deaths of police officers generally, and President Trump always did, is because they think it helps bolster their case against President Trump. They think it helps bolster their case against what they consider the terrorists now. Trump supporters are called terrorists now, the terrorists who were there at his rally. That's all. That's all. If this man had died in some other circumstance that had nothing to do with that, even if it were in Washington, D.C., they wouldn't say a peep. They wouldn't say a peep. They wouldn't even acknowledge him. So that's a little bit sickening, frankly, to see the sudden concern and interest and just no depth, no sincerity to it at all, because if it were really there, they would have been doing it long before anything like this happened. I think I mentioned to you all that we meaning my church, does an annual Chesapeake Martin Luther King Leadership Breakfast, and we honor people for their leadership around the community. And it is not based on race, it is based on merit. And after 9/11, we included our first responders because I said we should not have to wait until somebody dies, until someone is killed trying to defend us before we say thank you and before we acknowledge their service. And so every year since, we have always included our first responders in honoring those who serve the community. It's easy to point the finger and criticize and nitpick. That's got plenty of political cachet in certain precincts. But honoring these folks and supporting them and encouraging them, when you know, even at the breakfast, I mean, I had somebody say at the breakfast, and it's nonpartisan. I don't mention party or anything like that. But somebody say, well, you know, you sounded like a Republican. Now, supporting our police officers is Republican? Really? That's news to me. I think it's just being a good citizen and a decent human being. All right, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. I'm going to start taking your calls in a minute. Let me just mention a few things that are worthy of some discussion. Some of these GOP House members who voted for President Trump's impeachment are in trouble now. Liz Cheney is one of them. They've got a lot of people coming against them, and well, they should, because as far as I'm concerned, it was an act of grave disloyalty. It was an act of completely unjustifiable and pernicious and malicious vengeance. And against what? I'm not sure. Why some of these establishment Republicans hate him so much, I don't know. But in my humble opinion, as a citizen, first and foremost, but also as attorney, President Trump did nothing impeachable, absolutely nothing. He said, let's go to the Capitol and peacefully and patriotically. Now, how in the world is that inciting people to riot? It's not. Those words, as far as I'm concerned, inoculate him and shield him from these accusations, period. He said peacefully and patriotically. So end of discussion as far as I'm concerned, but they don't care what the facts are. We know that. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. And she, in fact, Liz Cheney is being challenged in the primary. So we'll see how that all plays itself out. China is now flexing their muscles and telling Biden to step away from the rather aggressive posture of Donald Trump toward China. And given the fact that the Biden family has made so much money off China, I have a feeling he will comply with his new masters. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
In the book of Joel are these words, And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. You know, we used to be a nation of dreamers. Some of that is missing now, but we have it as part of our heritage. Our forefathers, those who founded our country, were dreamers. They dreamed of a country where man would be free, where he could live in dignity and hope and promise of a better tomorrow. They lived that dream, believed in it so much they were willing to give their lives for it. Nothing could stop them from reaching out for that dream, not even all the combined power of the King of England. They took that dream, and with it they beat the unbeatable foe. They conquered the unconquerable land. They traveled the untravelable roads. What great dreamers they were. But they were not the greatest dreamers this world has had. There was a small group of men who had even greater dreams than did the founders of our country. Back nearly 2,000 years ago, there was a group of 11 men who had a dream, a great dream. They dreamed that they could conquer the world without ever lifting a sword or firing a gun. They dreamed that one day every man, woman, and child could and would share with them the new faith they had found. They dreamed that one day this world would be ruled by love. It was a great dream they had. So great, in fact, that the world thought they were crazy. The world laughed at them, ridiculed them, even persecuted and killed them. But the dream could not be destroyed. It lived on. They planted that dream of a world ruled by love in the hearts and minds of other people. Soon that dream had conquered individuals of all climates, all classes, all races. There are those who are still dreaming that dream today. They are inspired by a carpenter who touched the hearts of common people as no other person. He planted that dream in their hearts, nourished it, watched it grow. It is the dream of a world where we are brothers, where we help instead of hurt, share instead of steal, give instead of grab. It's a dream of a world ruled by God's love. A foolish dream, an unrealistic dream, an illogical dream? Yes, it's been called all of those things. But that doesn't stop individuals from dreaming it and from trying to make that dream come true. It is, in a way, an unfulfilled dream. But we're still searching after it. The call goes out from this Galilean carpenter today for more dreamers. Few there are who dare to give themselves to that dream. It seems unreachable to most people. It is certainly a big dream and requires the best that there is in a person. For this reason, very few dare to dream that dream. For it's a challenge, the world's greatest challenge. It isn't a dream for sissies or weaklings or the lazy. If you are a dreamer looking for a dream to give yourself to, there's none greater in all the world. And one day, with his help, the dream will come true.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And two other quick things. One is, if you ever wondered where Anthony Fauci is coming from, he is going to soon be on a panel with a Chinese operative, really. And they're going to be talking about the fact that we don't know that the Wuhan virus came from Wuhan. Yeah. In other words, talk about disinformation. The disinformation from China is already beginning now that they've got an administration that is willing to appease them and go along with them. So they're going to be basically saying that we don't really know where it came from. It probably came from multiple places, but it didn't come from China. Yeah, that's going to be the new mantra. And that's consistent with Joe Biden's executive order saying that no one in the federal government is allowed to associate the virus with China. Isn't that kind of a violation of people's First Amendment rights? But I suppose if they're working for you in your administration, I suppose you can tell them as a policy matter that that's going to be the way we see it. But these were once the people who prided themselves on freedom of speech. And now they can pride themselves on being totalitarianists who are interested in shutting down freedom of speech. So there's that. There's also this, that Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, whew, thank God, oh man, every time I think about the possibility of Andrew Gillum having gotten elected governor of Florida, it makes, I mean, it makes me shudder. It really does. Because this guy was, he was bad, bad, bad news. But nevertheless, we got Ron DeSantis, and he is taking his steps upon the government. He is taking it upon himself to have the government of Florida crack down on big tech in Florida. Now, of course, he can't affect the rest of the country, but he's saying that Florida is not going to allow all the censorship. They're not going to allow big tech to interfere with their elections. And it's about time somebody did it, because right now, these big tech companies are going to get a free ride in the Obama administration. That's what it really is, isn't it? Freudian slip. They're going to get a free ride in the Biden administration. Or as some of you call them, said, oh, Biden administration, right? Perfect. Yeah, they're going to get a free ride. Yeah, they will be protected because they've done so much to help the Democrats defeat their Republican opponents that they've got to reward them with a free ride. And have you seen the data where, like, I think it's like 98% of the giving of these big tech employees goes to the Democrats? And the Republicans who gave, they better duck. You know, I'll say this one other thing. I was talking to a friend of mine who shall remain nameless, who has some engagement in the entertainment industry, okay? And I'll just leave it at that. Some engagement in the entertainment industry. Christian. And said to me, look, not only can you not agree or not be a supporter, not be conservative at all, and certainly not a supporter of President Trump, but she said, you almost have to try to find something that you can criticize when the issue comes up, because in Hollywood and the entertainment industry, it is not enough to be silent. Silence is consent. And if you are silent, they assume that you're not with them. And I thought, oh my goodness gracious, it's that bad. I mean, folks, that really is just like communism. It really is. Where you've got to espouse the party line, because if you are silent, it assumes that you are a counter-revolutionary. 888-589-8840 is the number. The plot thickens, doesn't it? Let's go to Mike in Missouri. Mike, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Semper Fi, brother. I'm a former U.S. Marine. I served under Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, both. And I tell you what, it just makes me quite mad to see what's going on with the Democrat Communist Party. As far as I'm concerned, Joe Biden is just a traitor. I call him Commie Joe Biden. And these Republicans that didn't stand by Trump, the problem with them is they're just a bunch of cowards. They don't have any backbone. They need to grow some backbone, grow some spine, because as far as I'm concerned, they're spineless. But you know what? I put my faith in the Lord. No matter what happens, He's in control, and everything happens for a reason. And, you know, just like Israel, we might be going through these trials to teach some people a lesson, you know. They might need to be humbled a little bit. You know, it's usually when you go through hard times and trials when you realize what you had before, you know.
Amen. Mike, thank you so much for the call. You got a lot of interference in the background there, but we got your point in well. And look, what can I say? I agree with you. I've affectionately referred to him as Beijing Joe, because I really think that the Communist Party has got their hands all in his life. And you can't enter into $1.5 billion contracts with a communist country when you don't have any background or experience to justify the transfer of those kinds of funds and those size deals, and then tell me that his whole family is not bought out by the communist Chinese. And if they're not, prove it. So thanks for the call, Mike. Let's go to Wesley in Georgia. Wesley, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. I've listened to you long enough to know that you like to study history, and particularly American history. So I just want to recommend to you a book I'm reading by Robert J. Morgan. It's called 100 Bible Verses That Made America. And I think you would really enjoy it. It's kind of 100 short stories of instances throughout American history that the Bible, certain preachers have shaped the country we have today. And it's really been I'm in the beginning of it. So I'm just now in the 1750s, but I have really enjoyed studying pastors like George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards and some of these other Great Awakening pastors. And it's amazing to see this country was founded by some really, really passionate men of God, and kind of disheartening when you think about Harvard and Yale were founded as Christian schools, now they've gone anything but that. But it's still a great book. I think you would enjoy it. So check it out if you get time.
Thank you, Wesley. Thank you for that recommendation. You're right. That just you're describing it tells me that is a book I would really enjoy, and I've never heard of that. So I will look it up and get myself a copy right away because I'm excited to read that. I'm always interested in reading material that confirms our Judeo-Christian background because it's there. It's just that the left spent a lot of time trying to sanitize our history of it and deny it. But thanks for the call, Wesley. Appreciate it. And for the recommendation on the book. Jimmy in Oklahoma, welcome.
Bishop Jackson, we appreciate you very, very much.
Thank you, sir.
We know that Biden opened up all of the public schools, I think from pre-K to high school, letting the children use the bathrooms of the opposite sex in the name of transgender perversion. So, Bishop, I suppose that we can assume that not only is that happening, they are being taught and being indoctrinated. Little four-year-old, five-year-old children now being taught. Is it happening in every single school? Are they being told? Are the little boys being told they might be a little girl? And I know the number one responsibility is with parents. We know that. But how can a pastor who knows that's happening to the little children in his church know that's happening at the public school and not cry out against it? How can that be, Bishop?
Well, Jimmy, it shouldn't be, but we know some were called and some were sent and some just got up and went. And that God had nothing to do with it. So that's part of the problem. You know, a good friend of mine, Dr. Rick Scarborough, down in Nacogdoches, Texas, started his activism when he was a pastor and his daughter came and told him what was going on in the school. And he didn't believe it. He just couldn't believe it. So he decided to go see for himself. And that catapulted him into action. And he has been working to save this country ever since. So you're right. Back in a moment.
Come on, man.
It's a no-brainer. Men go to the men's restrooms and women go to the women's. But that's not how President Biden sees it. He issued an executive order allowing men to go into women's restrooms, effectively putting women and children in danger. This order includes any public high school and university that receives federal funding.
Come on, man.
Act now. Send an email to President Biden and tell him, come on, man, protect our women and children from predators. Just go to afa.net. afa.net.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years and lived as a man. When Laura came home, we were all ecstatic. And so I just woke up one night and it just kind of laid on my heart. We need to start a specific basket with names of prodigals in it that we will pray over.
Learn more or submit a prayer request at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
Because we all have someone.
While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, a little bit, but I've been through worse.
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing In Christ Alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
We got some really great advice from someone's marriage that we really look up to. They're a very strong Christian couple even today.
Captain Harold Earls on Focus on the Family Minute.
They said that essentially you are choosing to love your partner every single day, and that you, what it really means when you have kids, is to even put your marriage before your kids. And I think that we saw and we were so blessed that, you know, our parents poured everything they had into us, but at the end of the day, they weren't pouring into themselves and their marriage. And so that's been a very important lesson for us as we have two kids with another one on the way, is to make that time, is to find time to even have little moments in the house after they go to sleep, or if you can afford it, find a way to get a babysitter or a relative to come over and be intentional with our love, and to always grow the love side, not just, hey, I love you because we have kids together, but I'm actually in love with you.
Your marriage is important. It's the foundation of your family. More from Harold at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. Let's come right back to your calls. Let's go to Laurie in Georgia. Laurie, welcome.
Yes. Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you.
So I just got some good news. I've been going through this period of time with a lot of help, and my help comes from the Lord, and it doesn't matter what form the help comes from. It's help that comes from the Lord.
Amen.
And this Saturday, one of the congregations I'm involved in, we are going to be starting service on Saturday night from 6 to 8. We haven't been together since last March.
Wow. That's 11 months. Wow. Well, Lori, first of all, I'm certainly glad that you're getting back together. I'm encouraged by that. But, and you're in Georgia?
I'm in Georgia. I'm 10 miles north of Fitzgerald, Georgia. I live in a Christian community.
Wow. I mean, I'm just surprised. That's 11. Of course, I know there are still some churches that are still closed. So, well, I'm glad. We will celebrate the good news with you, Laurie. I'm glad that the long drought is over. God bless you, Laurie. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Dwayne in Mississippi. Dwayne, welcome.
Good evening, Bishop. Brother, I love listening to you. It's hard to get in, but I thank you for taking my phone call. A few weeks ago, you spoke about Jesus being your hope. And I want to finish that verse, and I know you know it. 1 John 3:3. Every man that have this hope in him, talking about Jesus, amen, purified himself, even as him, Jesus, is pure. Oh, brother, you blessed my heart.
Amen.
When you said that. Yes, sir. Keep
Amen.
Up the good work. There'll be a reward for you one day. He that started
Amen.
That good work in you will continue until the day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
And you too, Dwayne. Thank you so much. God bless you, man. We can never get enough of the word. Thank you, Dwayne. Let's go to David in Texas. David, welcome. Hi, David. You're on.
Yes, sir. I am a new listener. A couple of weeks I've been listening, and
well, thank you. Welcome.
Yeah, no, the lineup. I'm new to the lineup, of it, but I cannot stop listening to you guys every day. I have my phone on, listening to you off of your app. But I've got a question, concern. Most of the listeners, I think, and if I'm wrong, please tell me. Not listeners. Most of the programs say, "Oh, listen to us, watch us on Facebook," and most of the programs there, you guys are talking about how it's wrong that President Trump was censored off of Facebook and Instagram, but yet you guys still are on Facebook and Instagram. Why don't you, just a suggestion, why don't you guys take a stand, get off of Facebook, and all the Trump supporters send a message to all these big tech and send a message? I don't understand that. Why do you guys still have to be on Facebook if you guys are proclaiming that it's wrong that President Trump was censored?
Well, I know he was taken off of Twitter. That's right. I think Facebook ultimately did the same thing. Yeah, they followed Twitter and took his account off. Well, look, I can't speak for the network, okay? And I'm not sure what our policy is as a network on Facebook. But I know some of the programs are on Facebook. Some of the programs, in other words, are on the radio, but you can also watch us on Facebook. But I'll tell you from my personal perspective, okay, why I continue to use Facebook. I don't only use Facebook. I use other venues as well, because I think the day may come when Facebook will no longer allow us to do it. But I do it simply because I've got an audience out there, and I need to communicate with them. And my audience is on Facebook, and I just want to keep talking to them until the time comes that I can't do that. And so what I'm doing personally is I'm also live streaming my stuff to our websites so that people can see what I'm saying and hear what I'm saying in other places. But even then, it's going to be a big transition. So that's my attitude about it. I'm using it as a communication tool for as long as it is available to me, understanding that may not last very long. So I don't feel the need to abandon my audience in order to make the point right now. And see, the other thing is, I think what they're doing is wrong. And to me, what needs to happen is we've got to take a stand to either break them up or force them to yield and not give them the protection of Section 230 of the Communications Act that allows them to act like they're neutral when in fact they're advocacy groups that are promoting a particular point of view. So I'm not claiming to speak for the network right now. I understand. I'm just speaking for myself, David, and why I continue to use Facebook, because I've got a lot of people who watch me and follow me there, and I just don't want to lose them because I don't have any place. I don't have a way of sort of shifting them over easily. And even if I did, I mean, that's not easy to do. I'll do it if I have to do it, but I hope that we'll find another solution to this. But thanks for the call, David. Look, I think you raise a valid point, a valid question, but that's my answer to it anyway. Okay, thank you so much for the call, David. Let's go to Dan in Arkansas. Dan, welcome.
Yes. Brother, I am so grateful for you and all the good people, the good children of God on AFR Radio. You are truly a blessing, and I want you to remember you're a blessing. You've been blessed to be a blessing. But I have a request. I want all of you good people to consider running for office, like U.S. representatives and senators, etc.
Okay. All right. Dan, thank you for the call. We got a little interference on your line, but I can't speak again. I can't speak for other people. I've done it twice, done it three times, actually. And it's no fun, but I did it because I really felt called of God to do it. In order to do it again, I'd have to feel the same way. But I will echo your sentiment. I think God is calling Christians to do it. And I think Christians ought to answer the call. So thank you for the call. Let's go to Seth in Louisiana. Seth, welcome.
Thank you. Driving a truck out here in Louisiana, I just wanted to call and tell you I love your program. Love your message, and proud believer in the United States, but hate my government and the way this country is going with all the evil and underhandedness. And recently born-again Christian, I hope. And
amen.
Hoping that we can get some prayers from you for me and for our country. I know you pray for our country every day. Just include the new guy on the block here, if you would, and just say I wish there were more people like you in our country, and those other idiots were in a very small minority again.
Well, Seth, thank you again for the call. And Father, in the name of Jesus, would you bless Seth and use him for your glory and strengthen him to walk with you all the days of his life and fulfill the plans and purposes that you have for him until he enters into heaven, in Jesus' name. God bless you, Seth. Let's go to David in Texas. David, welcome.
How are you doing?
I'm blessed. David, looks like you.
Yes, sir. All right. Hey, this is just a, yes, sir, a quick response. Hello?
Okay, yeah, I think you got to turn your radio down. I'm hearing a little feedback, but go ahead, David.
Okay, I thought I had it down. Let me just turn it off. Is that better?
Yes, sir, that's fine.
Okay, sir, I had just a quick response to the other David from Texas. Mm-hmm. And all. I mean, I know y'all put a lot of your programs on podcast, but at this time, I'm not aware. And if I'm wrong, I'll stand corrected, but I'm not aware of a viable option to Facebook. Some of y'all tried to go to Parler, and other people have tried to go to Parler, and they've taken the servers down for Parler that Parler was on. And I don't know of any other viable option to Facebook.
I don't either right now. I don't either right
now. Yeah, so, I mean, that's just a response. I know, you know, you have the podcast. And like you said, your webcast and stuff. So that would be the only option I know of.
And, you know, David, you got to pick your battles, don't you? Because this stuff is so pervasive that we could end up in our house, not in our houses, not doing anything, because pretty much the whole corporate world now is polluted with this secularist, socialist mindset, this godless mindset. So you're right. We've got to be strategic. I thought about another thing I would have said to David, which is this. I would really have to believe that God is leading me to take that step too, because I know it would cut me off from the people who support me and listen to me. And I would have to know that God is saying do that. And until God says do it, I wouldn't make a dramatic move like that. But something does have to give, and I'm believing God that it will. I support breaking these companies up. I think they're simply too big. I think they've got too much power. I think they're like little mini states now. And some of them have a lot more money than many countries of the world. And I just don't think we can treat them like they're just ordinary businesses that are making, you know, cream puffs or widgets or, you know, whatever. These people are now controlling the communications flow of our country and in many ways of the world. And so I think we've got to take a different approach. And this administration is never going to do it. But I'm believing God that the next one coming in will. Well, that's going to do it for us, folks. God bless you. I'm still glad, so glad that we've got AFR. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.